Well, welcome to the Discovery Group Leader Training Podcast. This is a training series of podcasts for group leaders. We're here to empower you to be the most effective group leader you can be. Why? Because Jesus gave all of us, as his disciples, the mission to make more disciples. When we look to his example, we see that Jesus himself was a group leader.
Yes, he was.
We are trusting that if it worked for Jesus, it'll work for us. And we have found that to be true. Hey, we're your hosts.
Ben Markham.
Ben, good to be with you. My name is David Baltus.
Yeah, it's great to have you guys here today. And we want to bring to you what we hope will be 10 to 12 really meaningful minutes of leadership development for you as a small group leader. We hope that you'll find yourself encouraged and inspired, and hopefully that we help to round out some of your leadership edges, if you will.
Yeah, that'd be great. So today's topic is why groups? And we have three reasons that we're going to cover. Here's the overview. Why do we believe in groups? Where do we see this in Scripture? And how do we cast a vision to the people in our group about the benefit of groups?
Those are all great questions. I can't wait to get to each one. David, let's jump right in. David, why do we believe in groups?
Well, we believe in groups for several reasons, Ben. The first one is that God is relational. Mm-hmm. We call this the theological reason. We know that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and he exists in eternal community. Yes. He is oneness, and that becomes an example for us in our relationships.
Yeah, and in my theological training in college, and this was referred to as relational theology.
Yeah.
It was an understanding that if we really want to understand who God is, to best explain him, we have to understand that he exists, like you said, in eternal community, in eternal relationship. And so when we look to theology, if you will, we have to look to God first, and we see this as an attribute of who he is. But there is a second reason, all right? So you give us kind of a theological reason. What's another reason why we believe in groups?
There is a second reason, and it's that we're wired for community. We call that the sociological reason. We've been created for each other. We're made in his image. In fact, in Genesis 1, God says it's not good for Adam to be alone. Mm-hmm. And we extend that to each of us. We need to be in relationship, in the family relationship, in the relationship with other believers in our church community, because we're his image bearers. Community, when we're in it, helps us learn to solve problems that we have collaboratively, I think, as adult learners. And it creates a lot of meaning for us in those relationships. So we're wired for community.
No, absolutely. There's really no one who thrives in isolation.
No.
Not long term. I mean, they've done this in research from the development of infants and babies all the way through to elderly care. Mm-hmm. People who are left alone do not thrive.
Yes.
But those who find themselves in community thrive. And so I think we can see that when you said image bearer, we can see that the image of God is in us. We're like him. You know, he thrives in community, so will we. And so that way that he's created, that attribute of a desire to be in community, is hardwired into every single person. So give us a third reason.
Third reason, discipleship happens best in circles, not in rows.
Now, this is a small group mantra, almost cliche.
A maxim's
probably the best word that's been around for a long time.
It is.
People talk about small groups, and I'm really not certain if it came out of Saddleback Church, Rick Warren, or Andy Stanley, but someone smart said it, and I break it down for us. Why does that make sense that discipleship happens better in circles than it does in rows?
Well, briefly, so this is the organizational reason, right? So there is a place for the large environment in our church, and we have them. We have our weekend services. We have the gathering, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. But by forming groups, dynamic churches like ours can continue to grow, but also continue to maintain a personal connection and ability to have real relationship in which we help and challenge and encourage each other to grow. Those personal connections can only happen in groups. Mm-hmm. That's the best way for it to happen. And we actually do life together in groups then. It's not just listening to a great worship band. It's not just listening to a great message, which we have all of those things.
Yes, we do. We have all those things, but there are things that can happen in circles that probably can't happen during the weekend services or even sometimes during our what we call the gathering, our prayer services,
yes.
There's a facing forward that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And discipleship is taking place because when you sit under the teaching of God's word, that's over time, that's going to influence the way you think and then the way you behave, the way you view God. But the things that can't happen in rows in these environments where we're all facing forward is I really think it's the deeper level of questions about the message.
Yes.
And so when we sit in a group and we open up a Bible or we talk about the weekend's message together and someone's looking at me and saying, what hit you in the mm-hmm. heart? What affected your mind? What attitude are you going to change? How are you inspired to grow as a result? That's just going to happen better in a circle,
yes.
With people who build trust with one another mm-hmm. over time than it is going to happen when everyone is facing forward and listening to the teaching. And those circles can be groups like the one we have. Sometimes that circle is the car ride home, though, right?
Could be.
It
yeah,
could be.
For
there,
sure.
There are other places it can happen, but we believe that churches who focus on getting people in groups like this are going to help more people become disciples.
Yes. All right, so next, where do we see this in Scripture, Ben?
Yeah, question number two, where do we see it? Well, we see it all over Scripture, certainly in the example of Jesus. When Jesus looks to build his ministry, and then specifically when he looks to disciple his first group, he doesn't disciple 40 people.
Mm-mm.
He doesn't disciple 100. He prayerfully considers those people that he is going to invest his time with,
yes,
and journey with and do life with. And Jesus had the advantage, I think, of getting to travel. You know, not all of our small groups get to travel together with people in their group.
Not usually,
but we do have the advantage of getting to do it perhaps for longer.
Yes.
There are people who in groups right now have been journeying together for 4 or 5 years
mm-hmm.
and every week coming together to encourage each other. And so we see this in the picture of Jesus. He goes from 12 disciples. Of the 12, we know that there's three that he invited into spaces that he didn't invite the rest. And when you see the transfiguration, when you see Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane,
yes.
you see three disciples with him, not 12. So he seems to value, we see this example, he values groups, being in a small group of people. And then quickly, so we can get to our final point, I'm very excited for you to get to this final question we're going to go to. The book of Acts gives us so many examples of life in small groups.
Yes.
When we see the Holy Spirit fall upon the disciples in Acts chapter 2, the response to that, after declaring the wonders of God, after preaching the gospel in many languages, is we see that they begin to live differently.
Mm-hmm.
And so in Acts 2:42, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, all right, and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And you can see in verse 46, it says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts, then they broke bread in their homes
yes.
and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. If you continue to fast forward through the book of Acts, and you can see evidences of this in Paul's writing, certainly in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25.
Yes.
There's a calling of people to be together. And so when Paul would go to a new city, the first thing he would do is start a small group.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he had to go get them saved. For the most part, the small group leaders in our church, the group leaders in our church, are not getting people saved and then saying, come to a group. I think it's awesome when that happens.
Yes.
I had a small group one time where we were able to lead three people who were already in the small group to Jesus. It was incredible.
Yeah.
But the point is all through the New Testament, we see a call to love one another, carry one another's burdens, confess our sins to one another, and to put others before yourself. All of these one another's are best expressed, I believed. And they're not only or exclusively expressed, but they're best expressed when we're doing life with a community mm-hmm. of people. And I think a group's a great place to do that. All right, now we
it
got
is.
A third question. We got to jump into this because we got about 2.5 minutes left. And I want you, and this is going to be an action-packed 2 minutes. All right.
Go.
How do we cast vision for our group, David?
I think we drive home the message. There's three key parts to it. Here it is. Groups are the best way to learn how to love God, the best way, the best environment in which to learn how to love each other, and the best environment in which to encourage each other to good works. So love God, love each other, and encourage each other to good works.
So what I hear you saying is for a group leader, perhaps if their group's just started or even if their group's been around for a while and they need to bring focus to
yes.
their group, that sometime at the beginning of the group, it's a really important practice for the group leader to say, guys, I want to remind all of us what we're doing here, why this group exists. And it exists so that we can learn how to love God more, learn how to love each other well, and then encourage one another to good works.
Yes.
And how often would you recommend a leader say that to his group? And how can a leader drive that home, like keep that vision in front of the people that are in their group?
I think it's a good rule of thumb when you're a brand new group to do that regularly, so weekly perhaps for mm-hmm. a while, so that people get locked into the mission of the group, but also you could do that with the expectations of the group, which we'll talk about in the future. So do that regularly mm-hmm. so that people become accustomed to hearing it and internalize it. And then later on, you could do it with a frequency that you think is, hey, new semester, we just want to remind you, mm-hmm. here's why we're here. The best way to do it is to catch people doing the thing.
Oh, yeah,
and,
absolutely.
And say, hey, let's just stop for a moment because you just lived out in the way you interacted in this group, one of those values. When you said this to Jeff, mm-hmm. you were demonstrating that you're encouraging him to good works.
Absolutely.
Or when you acknowledge that this is what God is speaking to you and that you mm-hmm. followed obediently, you're acknowledging that you're growing closer to God because mm-hmm. we're interacting with Scripture. We know that Scripture is alive and powerful, mm-hmm. and it changes us.
And so you're catching them doing good works. And
yes.
I mean, one of the great bonding experiences for any group is when someone suffers.
Yes.
And you don't hope for that to happen, but because of the world we live in, it's going to. And so someone faces a financial hardship, a medical hardship, and suddenly the group, at times without even being encouraged to do it, will just say, I want to meet that need for you.
Exactly.
I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to follow up with you. And that's another example that a group leader could look at and say, hey, this is us living into one of our goals.
Yes.
To learn how to love one another well. And that's what we really see in Jesus, in his example, and in the New Testament church, is they learn to love God, to love one another, and to encourage one another to good work. So say it to your group often, repeat it, even if your group's been around for 5 years.
Yes.
If you need to refocus the group because you feel like it's getting a little stagnant, put the vision in front of them again. All right, David, I think we're out of time here today, so wrap us up.
All right, well, we'd like to invite you to join us next time when we dive into the topic, the first 2 weeks